Our reading today is from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. Let us listen for the word of God. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
This is a beautiful and wonderful scripture. And also, if we really listen to it, provocative. Beautiful and wonderful and provocative. For everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Written by the author of the book of the Bible called Ecclesiastes. And the author of Ecclesiastes is called Koheleth in Hebrew, usually translated into English as the preacher, the capital P preacher. The preacher says that there is a time and a season for everything. Most of us like to think in terms of absolutes. If something is good, it's always good. If something is bad, it's always bad. If something is appropriate, it's always appropriate. If something is inappropriate, it's always inappropriate. But the preacher of Ecclesiastes says differently. There are things that are good in one season and bad in another. There are things that are inappropriate in one season but very appropriate in another. The preacher suggests that life is best lived in harmony with the season and the time in which we find ourselves. That life is best when it's attuned to the season and the era, the time in which we live. I want to talk about four kinds of seasons this morning, and I want to start with nature. Nature has seasons. Seasons are apparently universal throughout all geography. Apparently, according to the internet, so it must be right, even the North Pole and the South Pole have seasons. Even the tropics have seasons, dry seasons and rainy seasons. Haiti has two dry seasons and two rainy seasons, which are their spring and summer and fall and winter. All geography, it's even according to NASA true that there are seasons on the other planets in the solar system. The only difference is the length of time they last. On Earth, a season lasts about 90 days. On Jupiter, each season lasts about 3 years. 3 years of winter, but then 3 years of spring. On Uranus, each season lasts about 20 years, 20 years of winter, but 20 years of summer. For most of human history, seasons shaped our lives. Seasons were determinative of our lives. You didn't go to bed at the same time every night for most of human history. You went to bed at different times in different seasons because the sun set at different times in different seasons. You got up in the morning at different times in different seasons. The work you did was determined and shaped by the season. There was a time to plant and a time to nurture the plants and a time to harvest and then a time to let the soil rest. There's a religious group that fascinates me that sets up a stage at the metro station in Chinatown, usually on Friday afternoons. And someone from that group will get up and they will preach to the people using the metro and to other people passing by. I go to listen and to learn. And it seems to me that lately their preaching has become angrier, but that may be the season we're in. They used to be more lighthearted. During winter, they would talk to commuters and they would say to commuters, you're not supposed to be working such long days during winter. Winter, they said, was a time where you work in the morning and you work later in day and you're supposed to spend winter with long afternoon naps. And then they would say to us, that's why you use so much caffeine and nicotine, because you're forcing your body to keep going when your body knows it's supposed to be resting in the middle of winter. And sometimes they would say to some of the passersby, not to me, but they would say to some of the passersby, you're too thin. During winter, you're supposed to take on weight. And then that'll give you extra resources for the hard work during the spring and during the fall. And I think that they are not all wrong. That we as human beings spend most of our history with our bodies needing of necessity to be in sync and in rhythm with the natural seasons of life. Deepak Chopra and other folk that I know mostly from Oprah say that it is critically important for us to learn once again how to listen to our bodies. And I think they are right. I think Deepak Chopra is right. He says that in many cases, our body will tell us what is good for us and what isn't. If we listen to it deeply, if we get past the part of our body, or at least mine, that tends to say potato chips, potato chips, potato chips, and listen more deeply to our bodies. The National Association for Eating Disorders says that the most important part of recovering from an eating disorder is to learn to listen to your body, because if you listen well enough, it will tell you when it's hungry, and it will tell you when it's full. Our bodies are in our biology, attuned to nature. And we ignore that, we become alienated from nature and our own bodies at risk. There was a big debate over the last year. One of the Southern Baptist leaders said that Christians should not practice yoga, because it is based on a non-Christian religious system. I think it'd probably be more accurate to say that it's hard to be Christian without us figuring out some way to pay attention to our bodies. For after all, Easter does not teach the resurrection of the spirit. It does not teach the resurrection of the soul. It teaches the resurrection of the body. Because our bodies are such an essential part of our identity and our nature. The Apostle Paul says that we will have transformed bodies, but we will still be bodies, because life is not life without the body. And so we treat our bodies, if we treat our bodies poorly, the Bible says, the epistles say that, Corinthians says that our bodies are meant to be temples of the Holy Spirit. We treat our bodies poorly and it disconnects us spiritually from the earth, from creation, and from Creator. Spring is a time to plant. There's something within us that knows that spring is a time to plant. I spent part of yesterday at Frager's hardware store we have a yard outside of our home that's so shady that nothing will grow there. So we buy $20 pots and $15 bags of potting soil, and we put pots and planters in the tree box outside of our house on the sidewalk where it gets some sun. And we plant spices every spring and lettuce. By the time it's done, I think a piece of oregano this big cost about $1.95. And a leaf of lettuce about $2.50. But there's something about spring being a time to plant, being a time to reconnect with the seasons and the flow of nature, being very important, being attuned to nature, the seasons of nature, being in that rhythm, in that alignment, is an important part of our spiritual life. Beth Norcross, who teaches green studies, some of us know Beth, who teaches green studies at Wesley Seminary, offers courses every spring in which the students who sign up walk fields of wildflowers in nature and take a morning, a week, simply to pay attention to nature. And the reason she does it is because she says that she believes that our alienation from nature alienates us from creation, and part of the reason we're in the ecological mess we're in is because we don't live in harmony with nature. In spite of thermostats and electric lights and transportation systems that bring us the same kind of food year-round, every season of the year, there is still a part of us deep within us that is connected to the seasons within nature. And we live out of alignment and attunement with nature at our own risk. Second kind of season. The span of our lifetime has seasons. What's appropriate in one season of life may not be appropriate in another season of life. What's cute when you're 6 may not be so cute when you're 16. What's appropriate when you're 16 may not be so appropriate when you're 60. Although, I talked to someone a while ago who spent a number of years after seminary being a youth minister, and then went to another church and became an older adult minister. And he said that the experiences were very similar. Life has seasons. Our lifespan has seasons. I doubt that anyone should be too wise at 16. 16 is a time to experiment and make dumb mistakes. But I also doubt that it's a good idea to be making those same mistakes at 70. Our lives have seasons, and we need to pay attention to the season of life that we're in, because those seasons help determine what's good and bad, what's appropriate and inappropriate for the season in which we're living. Nature has seasons, our lifespan has seasons. History has seasons. For 20 years, I've been fascinated by the work of William Strauss and Neil Howe, who in 1991 published a book called Generations. They believe that there are sequela, or cycles of history, and they've applied their theory to American history, and it seems to hold up in a remarkable way. Each sequelum has four seasons. There's a season of awakening, a season of unraveling, there's a season of crisis, and there's a high season. And they argue that the generation into which you are born, the season into which you are born, shapes much of the way you think and behave. And I remember reading their book in 1991 and reading that they predicted that if their pattern of the seasons of history would apply, each sequelum is about 90 years with four seasons within it, they predicted that if their reasoning applied shortly after the year 2000, there would be a great event happen in America that would throw our nation into a crisis. And it happened. History has seasons, and it's very important for us to know the season of history in which we are living. I often think of my parents whose lives were shaped by two world wars and a depression. Much of the way my parents thought was shaped by their experience of two world wars and a depression. My mother's greatest fear was that she would lose a child to war, because we knew so many families who had had a son who died in World War I or World War II. And so that season of history shaped my parents. The season of history in which I've lived has been very, very different. We've had wars, yes, but my sense of what shaped my generation has been the freedom and justice movements that have happened, the anti-colonial movement, the civil rights movement, the women's movement, the LGBT movement, the differently abled movement. What an exciting generation this has been to live in, because it's been a generation that's been shaped for the longing for equality and justice for all people. That's been this generation. And it makes me wonder what the life experience, how our children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and grandnieces and grandnephews, what season they will live in, and how they will be shaped and formed by the season in which they live. There are seasons of nature, seasons of the lifespan, there are seasons of history, and I'm convinced that there are also spiritual seasons, seasons of the soul. The Christian year, if you follow the Christian calendar, the church year tries to capture this. Music people know this because they sing music based on the church year so much. The church year has a pattern and a rhythm to it. It begins with Advent, a time of waiting and anticipation. And then Christmas, a season of joy. And then Epiphany, a season of awareness. And Lent, a season of repentance and self-denial. Easter, a season of new life. And then Pentecost, a season of empowerment and mission. So the church year is based on both the story of Jesus and the church and a sense that our spiritual lives are lived in seasons. The only problem is that the spiritual season through which I as an individual or you as a person are living may not necessarily correspond to the calendar season of the church. So there have been seasons in my life when I've lived in Lent all year long. That was no fun. And other seasons, other times in my life when I lived in Christmas almost all year long, which was great. I'd like more of those. We spiritually live in seasons. We expect our relationship to God, to the divine, to be the same all the time, but that's not the way it works. Our relationship to God is seasonal. And if we're confused about that, if we think it ought to be the same all the time, we will be either disappointed or upset. Because our relationship with God is not going to be the same all the time. Our ability to live spiritual lives is not going to be the same all the time. There are seasons of growth and there's seasons of dormancy where we are spiritually at least half asleep and maybe entirely asleep. There are seasons of spiritual intimacy where we feel a sense of connection with God and the universe. And there are seasons of spiritual distance where it seems as though God is far away. There are seasons of spiritual crisis and seasons of spiritual steadiness. There are seasons of doing and activism and seasons of waiting, seasons of prayer and seasons of silence. There are seasons when believing and trusting are easy and seasons when they are very hard. I have a pastor friend who listens very carefully to many of my sermons who will say to me, "You just contradicted something you said 2 months ago." And I'll say to him, "It's a different season." It's a different season. Those of us who are able to live our lives with the most spiritual grounding and centeredness will be those who pay attention to the seasons. I think it's important to pay attention to the seasons of nature. Everyone during this season of spring should be spending time outside. If you can roll in the grass, roll in the grass. Connect with the natural world. Experience the lustiness of the spring and of new life. Let spring fill your body. It's important that we are attentive to how the seasons move our spirits and let the seasons move our spirits. It's fine to spend a lot of time huddled up in a warm home in the middle of winter reading wonderful books, but in spring we need to roll in the grass. It's important to pay attention to the seasons of our lifespan, to not fight the changes that happen to our bodies. I'm not saying that we should stop exercising or eating right or taking care of ourselves. I hope to be going to the gym until the day I die. But our bodies and our minds, our spirits, and even our souls change over time. And the most spiritually grounded and most effective among us learn how to honor the season of the lifespan in which we are in. The seasons of history. General Conference is coming. Very, very important to live as Christians to know the season of history in which we are in, because being a Christian is largely about being attuned with what the Spirit is doing in human history. And so if the Spirit is at work on behalf of equality and justice in our time, we ought not in our spirit to be fighting old wars. We ought to be moving with what the Spirit is trying to do. The Spirit knowing, you know, Jesus got furious at the Pharisees, according to the Gospels, because he said to the Pharisees, you know how to judge the weather, so you know how to judge whether you ought to be planting or reaping. You know how to judge the weather, but you can't read the signs of the times. You cannot be a Christian in 2012 the way you were a Christian in 2000. You cannot be a Christian in 2012 the way you were a Christian, some of us, in 1950. We need to read the signs of the times in order to live out our Christian life here and now in this season of history in which God has placed us. And we need to pay attention to the season of our souls, which requires listening. Deepak Chopra is right about listening to our bodies. We also need to listen to our souls. Is this a time when God is close and we can feel a sense of intimacy with God, or is this a time when God is distant? And we need to learn how to live life without the comforts of a sense of spiritual presence all the time. Because God doesn't want to nurse us. God wants us to grow. Is this a time of growth? Is this a time when we need to, not bury ourselves in the comforts of a divine presence, but when we need to learn courage? What spiritual season are we in? So life, the preacher says, that life is about times and seasons. And we long for absolutes, but everything has its season. Every desire has its time. Every matter and purpose has its time. What is the season of our world of history, of our life, of our soul.